Amen. For those out there who kind of go, man, I'm not too sure about that. It says that we have a cloud of witnesses. No, because I really want to always try to tie things back into Scripture. I mean, we ought to be experiencing a whole lot more of God than we actually do. Paul was caught up into third heavens. Peter was caught up into trances that would bring the kingdom message to the Gentiles, that you and I are a fruit of that miracle 2,000 years ago. I believe that we've allowed the enemy to bully and dummy down how powerful God is. Are you tired of being bullied and becoming a dummy? I'm tired of being a dummy in the things of the Spirit. Amen? Just real quickly, I promise you, I will only go about 5 minutes on each point. The only problem is I have 9 points to make. Just kidding. But I really want to encourage all of us. I love the Christian community because every one of us can get in the game. Can get in the game here, can get in the game in citywide stuff when we do outreaches. And I just want to tell a quick story. Rebecca and I were talking this past week, and I was asking her how women's prayer was going. And I'm going to leave the names of the people, some of the names of the people out. If you know a bunch of the stories, you'll know, well, I know what that is. But that's not the issue. The issue is I want us to see how big God is and how He loves to use kept people like you and I. And she was talking about this past Wednesday, they came for prayer, and she felt like the first thing that was on her heart was to pray for one of us in the part of this body who needs a major miracle. And so it was on her heart to do that. So as she was getting ready to share with the women who were there, that she felt like all of a sudden God said to tell Becky Masden, I feel like you've got a prophetic song to sing over this person in hope. And she goes, I know it's going to be a little different, you know, the a cappella and all of those different things that go on. You don't have the music to cover up. I would need a lot of music to cover up my voice. And Becky goes, Rebecca Page goes, you know, I don't know if you've ever done that before. And I loved what she said. She said, I did it, yeah, a couple of months ago I did it at my house. For there's somebody in this body, they were having trouble in conception of a baby, a husband and wife. And I was so mad at the devil that I just started worshiping over them. Well, see, a prophet shows up that we give all the great honor to, who prophesies over this couple. And I'm saying that because I've been arrogant at times. Well, I had the word. No, you never know the mom that released worship 2 or 3 months earlier. And see, and I had a great discussion. Our lives are threads that run all the way through. And you think of all the different threads of all of us in here. And then I thought of the little knots in the threads that are the revelation that God lets us be used to bring forth kingdom God into people's lives. I don't know. I've just been thinking about it a lot since Rebecca and I talked on Thursday and hearing how God used Becky Masden. Wasn't at a church service. It was in her home. She's a mom with a little kid who the enemy bullies you and says, well, you're really not doing anything. You're just a housewife or you're just a mom at home. No, she's seeing the kingdom of God come into people's lives because she's being obedient. I believe we've got to continue to let God break us out of some real bad religious boxes. God doesn't need a keyboard to move. God doesn't need a prophet to come and prophesy, and all those things are good. What He needs is willing, available, and obedient sons and daughters, and we get to be in the game. Amen? Is it Bruce Springsteen that sang the song, Put Me In, Coach, I'm Ready to Play, I'm Ready to Play? Yeah, I know that. I remember making that joke a couple of weeks ago. I know you're not that young yet, bro. Just kidding. You're so young, bro. You're so young. But I know you know who the boss is in the E Street Band. So I really believe we need to be going, God, put me in the game. I'm ready to play. Amen? Well, we're excited for the wife. We're praying for the precious baby and the dad. The dad that the baby's going to have to endure so much. from the dad. You want me to go on? Well, I'm just going to go quickly since it is already 11:30, but I loved how Wendy K started it. This is Passion Week. And I hope you take the time, even today, at home, and you take out one of the Gospels and you read the journey that last few days. I hope that you're really listening to what I felt like God said for us to be doing as a body, to be taking communion every day. And I hope that you do it all the way up to Easter. And we're going to take communion again here in a moment. I remember Terry Moore, Pastor Terry over at Sojourn, many years ago talked about a guy that he knew that took communion every day for 15 years. He met him at a conference. He says, "My gosh, the guy was 80 and he looked like he was 40. He said it might be the best anti-aging thing that you could be taking." But the guy just had a revelation that he wanted more understanding of the covenant. I wonder what would happen to you and I if we heard the breath of God to say, "Take communion, let me open up heaven, and let me open up what really is the juice and the bread that is my body." And I just really wanted to hit on three things real quick. Redemption in Scripture, you can read about in Leviticus 6 and 7. You don't have to look at that through the week. Leviticus, in my opinion, it's like, wow, God, that's some tough stuff. But it's where it talks about in 6 and 7 of Leviticus where they to offer up a peace offering or a sin offering, it was always cutting up the animals and the blood being released for the forgiveness of sins. Y'all can sit down, guys. It's going to be about 5 minutes. You can sit down if you want to. That way you don't have to stand there. And 5 minutes means 10 minutes. And so, because you know, the redemption was the forgiveness of sins. We read in the Bible in Genesis that when Adam and Eve failed, an animal had to be killed. And their bodies were covered with animal skin so that they had something to... Well, let me tell you what, God just didn't create animal skins. An animal had to be killed. Because you see, the perfect animal, that perfect spotless animal in Old Testament type and shadow, would release forgiveness to Adam and Eve, would release forgiveness to Israel. You see, 2,000 years ago, the perfect Lamb came in the name of Jesus Christ. And in this journey of this week that we recognize and celebrate Easter, we see the great Lamb do a couple of things. And you please write these scriptures down and read them later. One is Luke 22, 39 through 45. And I believe it's one of the missed times that Christ shed his blood. Well, let me ask it this way. How many of you are being bullied in your mind by a bunch of stuff? Raise your hands. Okay, this is a great shedding of the blood that Christ did. It's when he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And his intensity, because it's just like what the scripture that Andrew and Wendy Kay read, all of creation's sin and stress of that sin was put on Christ. And as Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying that, and this prayer would be just minutes, an hour before they would actually come and Judas would betray him in the form of a kiss, it says that his sweat drops turned to great blood drops. You see, I think that we need to appropriate the shedding of that blood of the stronghold that the enemy tries to do in our mind. Again, redemption releases holiness and life into the death and dark areas that the enemy tries to keep in our lives. The place that the enemy tries to abort the things of God, as we read in Romans 8, is in our thought life, our mind. When I read this in Luke, he shed his blood from his brain, from his head area. And I believe you and I can walk in 100% perfect unity with the thoughts of God. We have the mind of Christ, is what it says in Corinthians. I encourage you this week as you take communion where the enemy's been bullying you in your thought life. And this past Wednesday, we had a great Bible study. And I ask all the moms to raise their hands who feels like that the enemy accuses them night and day about being a bad mom. 100% raise their hands. The enemy is a liar, a thief, and he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes to bully, and he begins in our mind. I encourage you this week as you take communion, even here in a few moments, you take it and you go, Lord, you shed your blood from your head. You were beaten and the crown of thorns was pushed down upon your head so that you and I could walk with a total open heaven in our brain and not a crown of thorns any longer. Come on, last week I preached about upgrade. Aren't you ready to upgrade from the crown of thorns to an open heaven in a thought life of how good God thinks you really are? Meditate on Luke 22:39-45. One of the next scriptures I want you to meditate is Luke 22:54-62. Scripture says that Peter's following from a distance. He's been told in his flesh, kind of like what Leslie shared, we're going to do it in our own strength. Peter declares to Jesus, I'm going to do it. If everybody else betrays you, I will not. And Jesus says, oh, Peter, you had great wishes, but it isn't going to happen because before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. He follows at a distance as they come and get Jesus. And then there's one denial of who Christ is. Then there's the second denial of who Christ is. And Luke is the only one that records this scene. And then the third denial. The rooster crows. Peter remembers the denials and Christ's prophetic word. And only in Luke does it say, somewhere where there was a crossing of paths, in the third denial, the eyes of Jesus and the eyes of Peter look at one another. The look, I love to call it. In fact, this message, the title of the message was The Sweat, The Look, The Drink, and The Freedom. You had the sweat, and now you had the look of love, the look of kindness. Now think about really how kind that look was. Who's the keynote speaker of Pentecost? Peter. Jesus is more loving and kinder than you and I giving credit for, because we're listening to the bully of the enemy way too much. Let's look at some other times that he looked at people. How about the woman at the well? Five messed up marriages. Living with a dude when Jesus shows up on the scene and Jesus gives her a look of love and destiny and kindness and forgiveness. How about the woman caught in adultery in John 8? They bring her into the midst. The Pharisees do. Anytime religion is released, they want to release accusations and fault finding. They throw her down and said, Jesus, this woman was caught in adultery. The word, the law says she's to be stoned. The look would forever change her life. Jesus says, okay, those without sin, y'all can stone her. Well, all of us have some sin issues. And I encourage you to read this story, the look that this woman got to receive. They all dropped their stones and they walked away. And Jesus says, where are those who condemned you? He said, they left, Lord. He goes, I condemn you not also. Go. Can you imagine the look of an adulteress and the Savior? I love how Ken Geyer tried to find it. It's a great devotional book to read. Ken Geyer's book on intimate moments with the Savior. Unbelievable devotional book. And it talks further about this story of how that look would forever change her when she's at home in years to come combing her daughter's hair. A daughter that she would have never have had if it wasn't for the love of a Christ like Jesus. The man known as Legion, chained to trees, tormented. And Jesus takes a bumpy boat ride to go set him free. Now remember, this guy was a bad, bad fugitive. Probably ate chickens and all other kinds of things of when you read his bad resume. Probably made Ozzy Osbourne, and those some of you might go, who's Ozzy Osbourne? Well, I can tell you that one later. All those other different things. But he meets one that has a look that will forever transform him. And I love how somebody personalized it a while ago. Have you seen the look? If we're really honest, we should have seen it thousands upon thousands of times. No, not with our physical eyes, but Ephesians 1:18 says, I have some spiritual eyes that are far greater than these natural eyes. Those spiritual eyes are enlightened, it says, when I see the depth of his kindness and the depth of his love and the depth of his forgiveness. Have you seen the look? The look that transforms lives. The look that called you and I into the kingdom of God. And then there's the drink. There's two drinks we get to choose from. There's a passage, I believe it's in Matthew 27:34. As Christ was on the cross suffering, there's a mixture that you're offered. And again, this is part of the cross we miss sometimes too. He's offered a mixture called gall. Anybody ever done a study on that? It's a narcotic. It was to numb the pain. It was to keep him from the very scripture that Wendy Kay read, that he endured that pain and torment to the fullest. That he could have drank this narcotic and been out of his mind and all these other different things. But he kept the perfect lamb so that you and I could truly walk into freedom. He didn't drink the gall. But you and I, too many times we drink the gall. It's staying busy at work so that we don't have to deal with the situation going at home. Or we will do drugs, or we'll do alcohol, or we'll do this, we'll do that. We drink a form of gall instead of drinking the drink of the covenant of a juice and a bread that are the life of Christ. Amen? You're good, you're good. Don't you think it's time that we quit drinking our gall and drink of a covenant that's so loving, so forgiving, that is such a look of life? And when I think, and I love this, I love this time of year more than Christmas, and I know we couldn't have Easter if he's not born, but I love Easter because we really reflect upon a depth of love that I want to know greater and greater every day. That's been my heart cry for us, that over these last 30 days we would have been taking communion. And if you haven't been doing it, young people, I encourage you to do it. You don't even need your mom and dad. Go into the room by yourself. Get alone with God. And I just want to read this. Guys, start passing out the communion, please. So remember the sweat. Remember the look, the drink, and the freedom. I'm going to read this passage out of Matthew. It's when he gathers his guys and he's going to take the elements before he makes his journey to the cross. It's found in Matthew 26, 26 through 29. And please hold on to the elements until we get them, receive them all, and then we're going to take them together. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and he blessed it. I'm telling you right now, Jesus is in heaven right now declaring these very things over this holy time and holy moment right now for us. Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to the disciples saying, take this and eat it, for this is my body. Again, Jesus just took a regular loaf of bread just like you're having passed out. See, the Holy Spirit comes and empowers this to be a powerful, holy moment. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many." It's time to quit being held down by past mistakes, past sin cycles, whatever it may be. It really is time that you and I take this today and take the upgrade that Christ has offered each and every one of us. It's time to see that look into our eyes of our heart. I'm here to tell you, God never looks at me in an angry and mean way, ever. And he doesn't you. He may disciple me, but even his discipling me is in a very, or discipline me. He always disciples me. But even when he disciplines me, it's in a very loving and caring and nurturing way, as only a good daddy can do. Everybody have some? We're getting there. And I need one, guys, if there's enough. Y'all get some? No, go ahead. Go ahead. Give it to them, Chris. Go make me one real quick, Caleb or Corey. Just enough? Exact amount. Thank you, Lord. Gracias, amigo. Don't you love my Spanish? Very strong. Yeah. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Just you and God. Not looking around, not letting your neighbor disrupt you. Not letting the bully keep you from receiving the upgrade. But you're taking the upgrade, spiritual healing, physical healing, emotionally healing, because he came to heal the brokenhearted. You're taking forth mental healing, financial healing. And no matter if we're sick in our bodies because of something we did that we shouldn't have, or in our financial situation because of some poor decisions, drink from his cup of mercy and take the upgrade of love and kindness. And let him take you forward to a whole nother realm today. Holy Spirit, breathe on this as only you can, that we would truly become a living being, greater and greater, for the glory and honor of our King Jesus. We take the upgrade in the area of where you sweat from your forehead. And we say strongholds in our mind can no longer stay. Accusations in our mind can no longer keep us from walking in the fullness of the Lord. We take in that great look of love and kindness and mercy and truth that you give us. And we love you and we give you praise. And we take this bread that is your body. We say, breathe on it, Holy Spirit. Lord, where there's been sin cycles, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to let this juice become the holy breath of God that your blood represents, as it says in Scriptures. And sin cycles would be destroyed. We love you and we give you praise. Take the juice. Lord, we love you. We exalt your great name. for you're an awesome, awesome daddy. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.